And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
We were talking about matcha before 7 o'clock news. You and I not tried it yet? Have you never tried it?
I think I've had a sip once. I remember, say, like 6 years ago or something, and I was like, oh, nah. And I thought, everyone's on it now. It's like the thing.
Hugely popular to the point where there was supply chain issues, certainly in recent months. I don't know if there still is, but it got for a while there hard to get your hands on matcha.
And then Macca's are going to bring in a new iced matcha and a strawberry matcha and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, look, we're going to go get coffees this morning. Let's go get one. Yeah. See what happens.
So that's what we just did. We got our coffees, our regular coffees from our friends across the road at Grounds of Society. And you've got a matcha in your hands right now. But I've also got Maddie, our barista, on the line because she doesn't have anything better to do on a busy Friday.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, my God, sorry, poor Matt. Thing. Hi, Maddie.
Hey.
Hello.
Now, I just quickly ducked in and grabbed the coffees and told you what we're doing. And what did you say to me? I said, we're just going to give matcha a try.
I said you should probably add honey because it doesn't taste very good on its own.
Well, then why are so many people drinking it?
I think they say there's lots of health benefits because it's green tea, rah, rah, rah. But I think they only like it because they add, like, heaps of honey or strawberry syrup or something, so it kind of defeats the purpose of it.
Right, okay. So it's like when people have a cup of tea and they're like, I'll have 3 sugars in it.
Yeah.
That kind of bizarre. Yeah. Okay.
That's why I said, because Loggy was like, do we get the strawberry one? I said, no, let's just get the straight up matcha. Yeah. I didn't know it was green tea.
No, me either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm told, so if I'm wrong, so sorry, everyone.
No, that's fine. It is green. I can confirm it is green.
Is it? Do you think it's so popular because it's very Instagrammable?
I reckon, yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm going to go in for
have a sip. Log's just having a sip here, Maddie. Do you sell a lot of matcha at the moment, Maddie?
Not at the moment, but in summer we'll definitely get more strawberry ones.
Okay.
Okay.
What's that? What does it taste like, Log?
Well, the thing is, we ended up going for full cream milk.
Okay.
Right? Because you and I were like, you're a skinny milk guy and I'm almond milk, and I thought we need the full effect.
Let's get something that neither of us drink.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'm kind of like, it's definitely, I think you guys make it well. Because the last time I made it, the last time I had it, it was kind of really chalky. And whatever.
No, I'll have another sip though.
Yeah, that's how I was too. I was like, do I like this or do I?
It's very bland.
Yeah, it is bland. Yeah. It's almost like, it's just like kind of having a tea-ish.
I think the best bit about it is the little bit of cinnamon you put on top there, Maddie.
Yeah, that's what gives it the flavour, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. So, look, nothing against your pricing or anything, but that was like $5. And I'd say not worth it.
Well,
I mean, you guys make it well, but yeah. Stick with coffee, I reckon.
All right. Waste of money. All the matcha idiots out there, they can just... All right. Thank you. Thank you, Maddie, for lesson in matcha and also for the well-made actual coffees. We appreciate you always. And there you go, guys. If you were thinking about trying matcha, don't bother.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Once again, the Bureau of Meteorology has just decided to just have a stupid decision.
Okay.
And run through with it. Now, as we said before the break there, they originally, I don't even remember when this was, probably 12 months ago or so, they're like, hey, we don't like being called the bomb anymore. We prefer it if you call us the Bureau. And we're all like, no, we're not doing that.
No.
Anyway, so the bomb, it went back to and it became, we moved on with our lives. But they launched a brand new look website this week, and the amount of complaints that they have received have been a lot, let's just say. So they released this new updated website on Wednesday. Now, Wednesday, if you remember, we had like severe damaging winds.
Oh, yeah.
We had heaps of rain.
That was Cup Day, yeah.
Cup Day. And then up in the northern parts of Australia, there was extreme heat and everything. So Australia as a whole experiencing some pretty wild weather that day. And they're like, unfortunately, we have to choose a day. And that was the day we chose to unleash this new website. And unfortunately, it was a day that a lot of stuff was going on. I mean, what do you want us to do? We're just the bomb. It's not as if we could have predicted it. Anyway, they've built this new website as modern and sleek. I've never understood. When websites change, and it's almost like they haven't said to anyone, do you want to have a go at this and see what you think?
Oh, there's been no beta testing or whatever.
I have no idea. I'm just speaking. But, sorry.
Again, we talked about this. You briefly touched on this before. You don't like change. You don't react well to change. You cope with it eventually, but in the moment, when you freak right out. So I wonder how much of that is what you're processing at the moment.
All right, let's go into it.
Okay, I've got it up here. It looks a little bit different. It does look a little bit more, when you say streamlined, it looks a bit more basic, a bit more blocky, a bit more, I guess, clean.
Crap. I don't like it. They spent more than $4 million, apparently, invested into this redesign. $4 million! Could have got a new weather stick. Anyway, they, well, whatever. A lot of people are saying the new bomb site is unbelievably useless, not happy bomb, bomb site is garbage and completely not useful anymore. After pressing 20 different options, I gave up and hit my phone with a hammer.
Wow. See, the phone. Okay, so they're on. Are they going through Safari or whatever to their browser?
That's how I do it, right? So I don't use the app. I'm a bit weird. I actually save the radar as a tab on my phone.
Okay.
And so I just click on the radar so I can always see what's going on. This new radar is so crap.
Oh, my God. How do I find the radar?
Exactly. Thank you. Right.
Rain radar and weather maps.
It's right
down the bottom of the page.
The senior meteorologist, Miriam Bradbury, I mean, no hate, but also they said, the new website, it's great, right? It's got all the same old information. The forecasts and warnings that you were accessing on the old site, they're still there on the new site.
Mm.
Where? Anyway, they said, we are getting a lot of feedback about ways that it could be improved. And so that's why we decided to upgrade. Mate, don't change a good thing if it's working.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
I'm on the radar in two clicks.
Okay, and what does the radar look like? Does it look better or worse than the previous radar?
It does look pretty bad.
Okay,
in the sense that it's small.
Yeah,
it's small, yeah?
Yeah, go on. Zoom into it. Can you see what's going on? Here we go. It's as quick as this. It's as quick as a few ums. They've interviewed people that use the radar every day for work, farmers, commercial fishermen and that, and they're like, we can't see kilometres per hour on the radar. We can't see the direction of the wind. We're disturbed by this, right? A lot of people are saying if you're a spraying contractor or a haymaker or you're a shearer or you're dependent on the weather and knowing if there's any rain or wind coming, basically you're going to be pissed off.
Mm.
Okay? And that's how I feel. I have none of those skills. And the radar, we all know my feelings on the radar already. But I do not like this. It is worse. It looks worse. It is not easily as accessible. Change it back.
As someone who uses the app, I don't mind it. Do you know how I zoomed in? I hit the plus button on the map.
Do not. How dare you patronise me? No. It's not just me. People are encouraging feedback.
Yeah.
And if you've got people like shearers and haymakers and angry women yelling.
And spraying contractors.
You should listen.
I can't get past that. Honestly, I've not listened to the rest of the break. Once you said spraying contractors, I was like, what's that?
Is that what I am?
What's that? Is that what we do for a job?
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Loggy, when you have surgery, you've had quite a few surgeries over the journey. When you are going into surgery, what are the things that you think before you go to sleep?
I absolutely love it for the reason that I'll go through any surgery, and this might sound wrong to say on radio, but purely for the anaesthetic. I love it. I love anaesthetic because it's the only time my brain is nice to me in that 4 seconds before I pass out. I'm like, what a wonderful what?
Yeah, and then you wake up and then you get a bit of that vibe sort of off the tail end as well, don't you?
Well, I also kind of, I remember when I had my arm done because my arm fell away from my torso. When they attached it back on and they were wonderful, I looked down and I thought that they had taken my arm off and I started screaming and they had to come over and be like, you're all right.
See how much we missed when they didn't agree to record you?
I know. It's so sad.
I really wish we could have. We should just put a hidden cam or a hidden mic on you.
Yeah,
or something.
I'm sure they'd like that.
But then in that case, we would have known what went on in the actual surgery.
No, and that's something that Nah, I Googled some of my surgeries that I've had.
Why?
I Googled them afterwards. Afterwards?
Nah. Oh, that turns my stomach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It turns my stomach too.
That makes me feel unwell.
But it's really cool because the arm one, you start off lying down, right? But when they do the operation, they make you sit up. Like, do you know operations, depending on where you're getting it done?
They flip you around.
They flip you around. Yeah. They put things, they put you in different positions. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
And the music they play in there, like, you think, like, it's all met. Nah. Surgeons are like, they love a good playlist too.
Yeah, right.
Like, I want to know what happens.
Yeah, so, well, so you do want to see, I think it's better left unexplained.
Well, certain things, yeah, because it is quite... You don't graphic wanna, and yeah. I can't do with that.
You just don't know what, you don't want to know what happens behind the curtain of anaesthetic. And this is one of those perfect examples where something has come out from a surgery and people have gone, oh, I don't know if that's okay.
Is it golden staff? Because that happens sometimes.
Oh, no, I don't think that's it. January 13 last year, so this is a while ago, almost 2 years ago. A man in Austria suffered a traumatic brain injury following a forestry accident.
Oh, God.
Was raced to hospital in Austria for urgent life-saving surgery. The operation was a success. He's okay.
They're amazing. Oh, man. Any medical staff, honestly.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
The neurosurgeon performing the surgery, it was Bring Your Daughter to Work Day.
No, so it wasn't.
Brought her child into the operating room.
No, it wasn't. You were lying.
The surgeon was still a training surgeon, but had her 12-year-old daughter just tailing her for the day.
So it's like a babushka doll. It's like you've got one and then another and then another and another.
How about you just give her a bloody iPad and put her in the waiting room?
What?
The details of what happened next have conflicting reports. However.
Oh, my God.
It is reported that the child was left with a junior colleague as the surgeon stepped away from the table to make a call. Operating. Child is sitting next to the table whilst brain surgery, right?
Why? Why?
Right. Oh, geez. One of the girls is calling. We're supposed to be going for cocktails tonight. I'll just quickly take this if you don't mind. I mean, we're in a rush,
aren't we? Why is your phone there? I mean, what's happened?
The brain's sitting there. It's fine. It's not going anywhere. So
oh, my God.
Gets up, walks away. Oh, it's probably already up. Doing the brain thing.
Yeah.
Walks away to take a phone call. During that time, the junior colleague, allegedly, says to the 12-year-old daughter, hey, want to have a go?
Stop it.
Gives her a drill.
Want to poke, like, want to poke this, see what happens to the leg? That
no,
kind of bizarre?
No, not even. We're going to need to drill a hole in the skull here.
You're lying.
Do you want to have a go at it?
You are lying.
Allegedly, the daughter was given the medical drill to create a hole in the patient's skull to create a probe.
Stop it.
The mum allegedly came back and then proudly declared that her daughter has just drilled her first borehole.
Oh, my God. I have no words.
So they've been charged.
Thank God.
Right.
How did they find out? Like, how would anyone know that?
Well, I guess
you're not going to know if you're on the...
I guess they didn't think it was a big deal and so told people. Anyway, the indictment finds that while the operation on the patient went well, the risk cannot be downplayed. The move posed an incredible lack of respect for the patient.
Of course.
The doctor and neurosurgeon both have pleaded not guilty to minor bodily harm. The surgeon's attorney says in defence that the youngster didn't actually do anything. The child did not drill.
The child shouldn't have even been in the room.
He added, it was not a good idea to bring the child into the surgery.
Oh, my God.
But his client had been paying for the blunder for almost 2 years now. Come on, mate.
Oh, come on. Look, come on.
I've done my time.
You know, guess what? I tried to push the mirror on the back wall of my door last night and cracked it. Can you imagine this kid, like, drilling? Oh, that's all right. We'll try again with the next skull.
Oh, the junior client was like, oh, I didn't know it was a kid.
I just thought it was a small person.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I brought you a story yesterday. And I had a follow-up to it last night. I know you're about to do a follow-up story too, so I apologise for the sort of...
The double follow-up.
The continuous thread that can sort of weaves its way through this show.
Hey, that's all right.
And they're sort of similar in the sense that you are doing the sewing, and my story involves the web. Remember yesterday I told you about the night before last?
Oh, you had a spider on your face.
Climbed on my face.
Yeah.
In bed.
And then you wiped it away and kind of realised, oh.
I've thrown that into my own bed.
Yeah, threw it into your own bed, found it. It was passed.
It was squashed. It had been passed. Mm. And maybe, just maybe, the spider community knows about that.
Of course.
And knows what I did.
Of course. They were probably watching.
Like I said to you, stay off me face. If you're on me face.
There are rules. Look, we've got rules with the spiders at our house too.
Yeah, right? And we established this yesterday, but if you're on me face in bed, you're getting squished. Okay? I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
Right?
No.
So spiders, take note.
Yeah.
The face, no. Okay?
Yeah.
Actually, just all of it. Stay away from my bed.
Yeah.
Stay away from me. So last night, so fine, went through the day yesterday, not a sighting of any sort of spiders.
Yeah.
Went to the toot last night after the girls were in bed and sat down, sort of did a bit of scrolling.
Okay,
hung out for a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
no, we don't need
bit
to.
Bit of me time.
Yep, no, that's
that
fine.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
Sat there, sort of did what I needed to do.
And then did you hear, I know what you did.
It's a little toes on my neck or something. No, that was my own toes. That's how I go.
I know. You are that bendy that you can
put my legs behind my head and
don't. Shoot. We don't need to. Okay, go. Yeah.
That's what it's like. I was right at the end of a toilet roll. So I used what was left on the toilet roll, as you do, right?
Yeah.
I apologise for where this story is taking
place.
Oh,
God. Just hurry up.
Toilet roll runs out.
Yeah.
Put the roll in the bin next to the toilet.
Nice.
Turn around the other side. Grab a new roll, pop it straight up on the thing, take off a piece of paper, and as I go to use that said piece of toilet paper, I look at the roll and who should come out of there but like black spiders, mate.
Oh.
Like same shape, spider, same. And he's like,
oh, no.
Hey, remember me?
Oh, my God, I know what you did to my friend.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what you've done. So I've jumped up.
Oh.
I've jumped up and I'm like, what do I do here?
Wipe? Wipe first.
Yeah, so what I did was. So I wiped. I was like, am I at an acceptable stage to pull the pants up? I was like, no,
never.
I think I am.
No.
I think I am.
Oh, God.
I think I was pretty much done anyway.
No. God. Just always check.
Pulled the pants up. Yeah. Didn't do the belt up.
Okay.
Flushed and sort of ran out. And then I'm like, okay, I need like spray or something.
Why?
For the spider.
Oh, God.
And, well, spray for the smell, but also spray for the spider. And, like, maybe I could kill both with that, like, because
bug spray's pretty safe. You don't need to kill spiders, by the way. But, you don't need to.
But what I did was I then ran into the bathroom, quickly washed my hands.
Thank God.
And then ran out to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Got the spray, came running back into the toilet. Gone.
Well, you killed the spider.
No, he's gone. I don't know where he went.
Oh, okay.
All right. There is a vengeful spider. With an agenda, with sort of a revenge plot.
Well, you know, and now
loitering
you've done
in my
it
toilet.
Even more wrong.
Yeah. It's angry. If I don't show up to work on Monday, you're not going to know. You're not going to be here.
Oh, no.
Everybody, if the show just starts on Monday morning and it's just like music, then you know.
Why are we playing that song?
No, intro.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I'm sort of sewing something in secret at the moment, so I can't really go too much into it at this stage.
You've already said, though, on the radio.
Have I?
Last week when you told us about the...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Agonising process of buying all the materials.
Yeah.
I'm
sewing a Halloween costume for a loved one's child.
Bubby, yes.
Yeah, right? And, it's been quite the process. Last week I came in with a whole bunch of trim that cost $80 and then I couldn't return. Because I got a bit confused. I got a bit overwhelmed at this particular store that I went to because... I'm new to sewing.
Yeah.
I needed some help. And then what ensued, I mean, you can catch on the podcast if you missed it.
A staff member was...
That's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
Shush.
So just for full context, you are making this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take what you would charge yourself in labor out of making this costume,
yeah,
just in sort of the bare sort of supplies.
Yeah.
What's it going to cost you?
So bare supplies currently, it's cost me $144.
Okay.
For a because for a child's
Halloween
costume. And as a new someone that's new to sewing, I did get a bit confused with the materials and how much some of them would cost.
Yep.
And yes, as I said, half of that amount is on the trim. Mm.
And weirdly,
which is the zigzag trim that goes around the blanket portion of this costume.
And weirdly, you know, when you're making the purchase, the team member that was helping you was not like, hey, let's talk this through. Are you sure this is what you want? You're going to spend $150 on this. Is this definitely what you want? You seem like, because you've told me that you're new to sewing and you're confused.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to assume you know exactly what you want and you're expecting to pay $150.
Yeah. And so I thought I'd give you an update a week in, right? Mm. There's been the sewing machine that I have was gifted to me because someone won it as a prize. Right?
Okay,
and
sure.
It's gifted to me and it's like an entry-level sewing machine, which is great. And I'm sewing something out of fleece, so it's a bit of a thicker material and maybe possibly my machine can't really deal with that. I don't know, because every time I do a couple of stitches, the thread snaps and then I have to redo the sewing. If you've ever threaded a sewing machine before, you have to thread it from the top and through the needle, and then you have to thread it from the bottom as well and hitch it up so it goes through the machine and out in the bottom. It's easy. It's like
easy.
A torture. Like if I was going to get tortured, if I was going to speak to some type of government agency that tortures people, I'd be like, do this to them because this will break you.
Do you know what you should do? Is run your hand through it.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm doing that. I feel like I'm doing that emotionally, running my hand through it, right? And so I was trying to troubleshoot some problems and I thought, okay, maybe the bobbin bit, sewing term, the bottom bit that holds the thread, maybe the casing needs a bit of troubleshooting. So I saw that you could ease a little screw that's in there to maybe ease some tension. Maybe that's why the thread is breaking, right?
It's too taut.
Too taut. Yeah. So I got my little screwdriver out and this miniature screw, I was undoing it. But what happened, it was actually it was holding together a bit of a spring, and what happened is that the screw then flew across the room and it's so tiny, I haven't been able to find it.
Great. You didn't know that there was a spring underneath it and just went doing.
Doing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with this. This is okay. I'm fine with this. I thought I'll just go and get a spare.
Yeah.
So back to a particular store I've gone.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just grab a spare. And it turns out you can't buy the screw for this.
No.
Independently.
Did you just go?
So I have to buy a whole new thing that goes in the machine.
New bobbin.
Yep.
New bobbin.
$40.
$40 bobbin.
$40.
They saw you coming, mate.
And then I kind of Googled it and I thought, all right. And I said, hey, if I don't open this, can I return it? Because I'm here already. I might as well buy it and then do some further information. Okay, that's fine. So then I had a look and I'm like, someone said to me, hey, there's that nuts and bolts place in West Vine Street and they deal with all these types of, I should have got the name for it, sorry. They deal with all these types of nuts and bolts and stuff and they're like experts in the area.
Yeah.
No, it was Jimmy that told me because I said, I'm just going to go to Bunnings to see if I can get a small screw. He's like, nah. Don't even wait. Go to the nuts and bolts place in West Vines. They know.
Yeah.
Right? So I went in there. Guy was absolutely lovely.
Oh, brilliant.
And he's like, oh, yeah, like we can sort this, whatever. And then he's having a look and he's like, all right, let me tell you something. And I'm like, what? He's like, sewing machines and guns. These are the two things we really struggle to find screws for because they're like specialty made. And I'm like, if you have a gun, I'd love one because it turns out that I can't find a little screw for this bobbin to add $40 to my sewing list.
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.